welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. What church to join? Well, this subject under consideration is one about which the world has many varied attitudes. And we approach the study very conscious of the fact that the things we present shall be contrary to what many people have believed, at least heretofore. But, as always, we only ask a careful and biblical consideration for the things that we teach. We never encourage anyone to accept anything except what the Bible does teach. This study has to do with the church, and it is in the form of a question, what church ought a person to join? Now, almost everybody, except the atheist, or the infidel, the agnostic, the humanist, those who are anti-Christian, expect to join some kind of religious organization before they die. We must take note that the number seems to be growing among those who do not have any specific religious affiliation. There is a real campaign against what is called organized religion. And we share some of the complaints against organized religion because most of it comes from man, not God. But we also must keep in mind that the church that Christ built is also organized. And as we discard the organized religions of men, let us not cast out the religion that Christ organized. There are more and more people, however, who have joined no church, and no church movement is their emphasis. In a sense, they belong to the no church church. Among those that believe the Bible to be the Word of God, there is not the same rebellion against organized religion. But even many of them have not decided which church to join. With several hundred different churches beckoning them to join us, they have many opportunities to join something. But thus far, they've decided upon no church. They visit around quite a lot, looking at this one and then at that one. We suggest that this kind of church shopping would take a man wiser than Solomon to ever decide with all the confused, chaotic, and contradictory situations that exist in religion. Many who take the course of action do become hopelessly confused. Now, it may sound strange to make this following suggestion, but how would you react to the idea of joining all the churches within reach? You know, if there is good in all churches, and one is as good as another, as some say, and that you can be saved in any of them, why not take advantage of as many as time will allow? Why cut yourself out from the benefits of any of them? Why not join them all? Why, you buy insurance policies from more than one company, not just one exclusively. You buy groceries at more than just one store. You might even drive more than one brand of car. Where did you get the idea that you can belong to only one church? If each one has something worthwhile to offer, why not get in with all of them? Now, we must admit that many churches would not let you do this. But you ought to ask them why not. Why should they object to you to belonging to a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic or Presbyterian, Episcopalian or a Pentecostal church all at the same time? Are not they all good? At least according to their doctrines, they are. Why should you limit yourself in the number? I've never had anybody to give me an intelligent answer to that question. But I would never advise anybody to join many churches. In fact, I would never advise anybody to join any church. No, this is not because I'm anti-organized religion. It's just because I have never read anywhere in the Scripture of God telling anybody to join any church. Yes, I'm a member of the church, but I did not become so because I joined it. This statement is taken from 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, where we're taught to speak as the oracles of God. And dear listening friend, the Bible does not speak of joining some church. It doesn't speak of joining any church. You will have to take my word for that until you've had some time to study for the Scriptures, Old and New Testaments. You'll prove that to be true for yourself. We best define what the church is just here, and that is the church revealed in Scripture. We're not talking about some physical building, of course, more properly called a meeting house. There are many splendid edifices and representatives of huge expenditures, but they are not churches. They're just buildings. All the building material in the nation cannot erect the church of the Lord. The church is described as a building, however. Paul said in Ephesians 2, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Again, ye also, as lively or living stones, are built up a spiritual house," Peter said, "a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Christ Jesus." You see, the material of this spiritual building is people. People who have been born again, having passed from darkness to light. Paul, when he was preaching on Mars Hill, said, "God that made the worlds and all things therein, he being Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." Acts 17 and verse 24. Now the Athenians had their marvelous temples to their gods. But the true God has no such physical temple. Those who belong to him make up his temple, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. And what is the church? Well, the church of the Bible is that spiritual kingdom over which Jesus reigns as head and king, and in which the Holy Spirit dwells by and through the Word of God. It is the body of Christ. It is composed of people who have come to the Lord by obeying the gospel, being washed in the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. Ephesians 1 says, "And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Colossians 1 and verse 18, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." 1 Corinthians 12 and 27, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." In the New Testament, the word church is never used in the sense of a denomination. Now that may be shocking to some people, but friend, it is the truth. A denomination and the church of the Bible are not the same. A denomination is a religious organization that claims to be larger than a local congregation, but it denies being all the saved of the world. Now, you compare that definition with the usage of the word church in Scripture. In the Bible, the church is either the saved of all the world, or it's used in the sense of the saved of a given locality. A denomination is different from the New Testament church in both of these respects. In fact, we never read of a denomination on all the pages of the Bible. Oh, but someone says the church is composed of all the denominations. My dear listening friend, let me say kindly, to make such a claim is to convict God of one of the most reckless kinds of divisions and confusions that one can imagine. Is God the author of the chaos that exists in the religious world? Is this what Jesus meant when he prayed that his followers be one, and when Paul taught that we all speak the same thing? Why, nobody can possibly conclude that God is the author of denominationalism. That is entirely the invention of men. No denomination existed on earth until several hundred years after the Lord's church had already come into existence on the first day of Pentecost after the resurrection and ascension of Christ, of which we read in Acts the second chapter. So we advise no man anywhere to become a member of a denomination, because there's no divine authority to support the existence of even one denomination. You could memorize the Bible, and you would still be no wiser about denominations. The only thing close to a denomination you can find in the Bible is where Paul condemned the division that existed in Corinth. Denominationalism strives on, it propagates, it promotes the divisive factors that characterize our religious world. Can one be saved outside of a denomination? Why, even denominationalists admit the answer is yes. But can one be saved outside the body of Christ, which is his church? No person that's honest looking at the scripture, would dare say, yes, you can be saved outside the Lord's church, because salvation is in Christ, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10, not outside of Christ, Acts 4 and verse 12. The church is God's household, His family, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, and those in His family are His spiritual children. They are the saved, Acts 2 and verse 47. Can one be a member of God's church without being a member of a denomination? Friend, not only can he be, this is what he ought to be. The people in the New Testament were never members of a denomination, but they were members of the church of Christ. I am a member of the church you read about in the Bible. I've never belonged to a denomination. And many who are members of the church came out of denominations in order to be members of the Lord's church. I don't see why some brethren have taken up the banner of soft-peddling the fact that denominationalism is religious error. Are they ashamed of the church? Do they fear the displeasure of men more than they seek to please the Lord? Why is there not a strong and definite and sound and certain cry against this human intervention in religion, denominationalism? Do we think that maybe somehow, in spite of God's word, denominationalism is acceptable after all? Well, it isn't. How did I become a member of the church? Well, I became a member of the Boyd family when I was born into that family. And I became a member of the family of God when I was born into it by water and the Spirit, John 3, 3 through 5. I did not enter the world and then shop around looking for a family I might like and one that pleased me. And I did not decide to join the church like somebody decides to join some club or association. Nobody voted on me when I became a member of the Boyd family. I became the child of my parents by virtue of being born of them. And being born of the Word, born into the family of God, I thereby and at the same instant became a member of the church, God's family, because God added me to the church like He added those on Pentecost when they obeyed the gospel and obeyed the commands that were delivered unto them, Acts 2, 38 through 47. They did not become members by their own merit, but by the merit of the blood of Christ, by virtue of something God did. When I met those conditions, the conditions that He prescribed, He added me to the company of the saved. And that's what the church is. Man need not concern himself about joining anything. He must concern himself about obeying the gospel. God takes care of church membership because God takes care of the saving. When one is saved, he is a member of the church. That's what the church is, I repeat to you. The church is the saved through Christ. It's composed of those who have been redeemed and washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't go out here and do one thing to be saved and something else to join the saved. Nothing in Scripture teaches you to do one thing differently to be saved than what you do to become a member of His church. And the doctrine that you're saved one way and do something else to join some denominational church is a totally false human doctrine. What church to join? Join none. Obey God. Let Him add you to His church. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism. That's what people did in New Testament times. And when they did that, they were counted among the saved. God added them to the church. Have you obeyed those things? This has been a burning fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.